from a relatively new sefer by a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. Some of you probably know him. Maybe you've heard of him. Rabbi Shmuel Zucker, Shlita. So this is his latest volume, volume 3 of the Oros HaMoadim. And he has a mimer that's very, very fundamental to the whole essence of Purim. Okay, it's mimer Lamed Beis. It's called Avodas HaPurim. Giloy Ratzon Yisrael Rak Lasos Ratzon Yisbach. The revelation of the Jewish desire to do nothing other than the will of Hashem. And he develops it in a very nice way. Some of the ideas are not uniquely his, but some of them are expressed in a very mechudash way. So I want to share it with you. Hinei ala pasuk v'kelim mikelim shonim. On the pasuk that says that Achashverosh's party had all sorts of kelim, Kalim, Mikalim, Shonim, all sorts of different vessels. Chazal have an interesting drasha in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Beis, Darshu Chazal, She'achashverosh hishtamish im klei hamikdash b'mishteh she'asa. Kalim, Mikalim, Shonim doesn't just mean that Achashverosh hired a good party planner and he made it very decorative. Right? Kalim, Mikalim, Shonim means that he used Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash as part of his mishteh. Interesting drasha. And furthermore, Chazal say, O Darshu Chazal, Shebeis HaMishta Lavash Achashverosh as Bigdei HaKohen Gadol. Not only did he bring out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, but Achashverosh, what was Achashverosh's Purim costume? He was the Kohen Gadol. He dressed up like the Kohen Gadol. He wore the Bigdei Kohuna. Very strange. Asks of Zucker Shlita, Tzorech Bior Mahai Sa'omek Kavanoso, Vavos Inyane Beis HaMikdash El HaMishta. Why was Achashverosh trying to turn his party into the Beis HaMikdash? Now, obviously, on a Pashut level, right, we know that the Purim story took place between Churban Bayis Rishon and Binyan Bayis Sheni. And there was a tradition that after 70 years, the Navi predicted that there's going to be a reawakening and a return and a rebuilding, an end to the Gullus. And the Gemara describes how different Rishayim tried to calculate when the 70 years were up, each one miscalculating in his own way. But Achashverosh, when he realized that his understanding of the 70-year period was up and Hashem had not come to redeem the Jewish people, Achashverosh essentially said, there's not going to be a second Beis HaMikdash. There's not going to be a Gula. So Achashverosh said, I'm the new Beis HaMikdash, and I'm the new Kohen Gadol. Right? So that's the Pasha Pshat of what Achashverosh was expressing by taking the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and dressing like the Kohen Gadol. But there's something more. We have to understand the certain yesod about the Beis HaMikdash in order to understand why Achashverosh is turning his party into this miniature Beis HaMikdash matzav. So let's see. O Darshu Chazal. Chazal furthermore explained the Gemara in Shabbos. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The famous Gemara that tells us, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Jews accepted upon themselves. And they re-accepted upon themselves. Explains Chazal, Sha'am Yisrael kiblas the Torah mi-ratzon b'Purim. On Purim, the Jewish people accepted the Torah out of ratzon, out of a will, out of desire. Acharei, Shabamatan Torah, kafa kodesh baruch hu al Yisrael esahar kegigis. Unlike the original acceptance of Torah, which was, v'siyatzu betacht esahar, pashup pshat, they stood at the foot of the mountain. Gemara's drash is, they stood under the mountain. Kafaleim har kegigis. Hashem put a mountain over their heads. So after the miracle of Purim, they reaccepted the Torah lovingly and willingly. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. V'amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov explains, Mikan moda rabba l'oraisa. From here, meaning from the fact that we originally were forced into Torah, moda rabba l'oraisa, we'd have a great taina. We would have a great response to Torah. In other words, the way Rashi explains it, the way the Svarim explain it, is that if you were a Jew living from Kabbalah Satorah until Purim, you were bullied into accepting Torah. So what happens, Rahmanu Litzlan, Alan, what happens, Rahmanu Litzlan, a person's not so good at Torah? They didn't live such a good life. They come to the Olam Ha'emes, and Hashem says, you didn't keep my Torah, you didn't keep this, you didn't keep that. So what do you say to Hashem? What's your moda'a rabba l'oraisa? What's your defense against Torah? I never wanted it. I got bullied into it. It's not my fault. I tried to leave Har Sinai and you put a gun to my head. Right? So up until Purim, we had such an excuse. Me'achar shekiblu es haTorah b'kviya, since we were forced into accepting the Torah. V'lo me'ratzon, and it wasn't something that we chose. Al kein bepurim kiblu es haTorah meiratzon. But on Purim everything changed, and we accepted the Torah lovingly and willingly. Again, asks of Zucker, Tzarech Biur, Lama dafka bepurim kiblu es haTorah beratzon. There were many moments in Jewish history where we had great salvation. What was it about Purim that they said, you know what, now that we survived on Purim, let's re-accept the Torah lovingly and willingly? What was it about the nature of the threat and the nature of the salvation that brought them to accept the Torah lovingly and willingly? Okay, so far we have two basic questions. Right? Why was Achashverosh pretending to turn his party, his bayis, his palace, into the Beis HaMikdash and dressing like the Kohen Gadol? And what was it about the Purim story that inspired Klal Yisrael to re-accept the Torah lovingly and willingly? So what we're going to learn today is that the theme of Ones and Ratzon actually play a very, very interesting role throughout the story of the Megillah. Continuing in Oz Beis, V'yesh Lomar, Bebir ha'inyan behektim divrei ha'megillah star, mi'ba'al ha'machaber sefer chavas das u'nesivas ha'mishpat. There's a sefer on Megillah's Esther called Megillah Star, by the same author of the Chavas Das and the Nesivas HaMishpat, which are often referred to as the Nesivos. That's what he's most famous for. And he wrote a commentary on Megillas Esther. Nesivos is on Chosh HaMishpat. But he wrote a commentary on Megillas Esther, and he notices something at the very beginning of the Megillah, that when Achashverosh made his party, Vahashisiya Kedas Ein Onas, the drinking was Kedas in accordance with the law, Ein Ones. There was no coercion. No one was forced to drink at Achashverosh's party. The Gemara says, Kedas Shel Torah. Maybe the party was Kedas Shel Torah in terms of balancing how much one should eat, how much one should drink. I should eat more than I drink, right? Although someone told me recently that Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern said maybe in our world today people are emphasizing drinking more than eating. It's so important to drink a lot. And people are juicing and things like that, so maybe there's some type of reversal that's taking place. Okay, alpipnemius, there may be something to talk about there. Right? But the pashup shot in the pasuk is that Achashverosh didn't force anyone to drink at his party. Why not? Often at parties, there's a social pressure to drink. And people, dafka at parties, pressure each other to get drunk. So why at Achashverosh's party, which was such a wild party, why was Shtir Kadas Ein Ones, no one's forced to drink, no coercion. Explains the Megillah Star in a very deep secret. V'zeh Lashonah. Efsher Sherotza Shechetam Yihiyu Baratzam. Achashverosh wanted the Jews to choose to sin. He wanted to force them to sin. He wanted to get them in more trouble, so he just made the party so active. No one has to do anything, but how could you not? At such a party, how could you not opt in? Achashverosh didn't want to force them to sin because he thought if he forced them, then Hashem wouldn't punish them as much. He wanted them to get in trouble. So he wanted them to choose the Avera. Al-Kain hi niach lahem ratzon shiacholin lishtos gam kein al-das shel Torah. So he said, you drink in accordance with your way. V'gam shi'lo yihya shichris besuda. There's no need for drunkenness at the party. Shi'achetam bedas v'lo mitoch shichris. In other words, he wanted them maybe dafka not to get drunk. If they're drunk, they could claim, Hashem, yeah, we had too much to drink, and that's why we made bad choices at the party. But if Klal Yisrael's not drunk at the party, and they have their das, and then they make bad choices at the party, so then Hashem says to them, what were you doing? And don't tell me you weren't thinking straight. You are thinking straight. You weren't pressured to drink. Hashtiyaka das ain't onus. Right? So this was part of the evil plan of Achashverosh to get them to sin beratzon, that they shouldn't be forced into their averus. Uve'emes mefurash hu b'megillah. Furthermore, we see this idea in the Megillah, again, this theme of ones, of coercion, and ratzon, and willful choices. Turn the page, lasos, the pasuk says in the Megillah, that at the party was lasos kiratzon ish va'ish. The party was in accordance with the will of ish va'ish. The Gemara explains, ish va'ish refers to Mordechai and Haman, Ish v'Ish. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi, Haya B'Shushan Abira. And Haman is called Ish Tzar V'Oyev. Right? Just mentioned something we mentioned in the past, of Avram Svi Kluger Shlita points out that Mordechai is Ish and Haman is V'Ish. Ish is Rashi Tevos Ein Shum Yayush. And Va'ish are the letters of Yayish. Right? So it's the hope of Mordechai versus the despair of Haman, the frustration of Haman. Kol zeinenu shovali. Haman's very dramatic in the Megillah. Nothing's working out and everything's terrible. Right? Haman, you're doing great. But Haman, that midah of a malek, they present themselves sometimes as confident, but at their core, when Haman's talking to his wife and his close friends, he's mamish a tzibrach in a person. He's mamish mityayish in a deep way. And that's why he declares, yeah, kol zeinenu shovali. Yeah, I'm doomed. Nothing's going to work out for me. And Mordechai, whose people are facing annihilation, is an ish, ein shum yeush. No despair whatsoever to take on Haman. So, harei mefura shiratza achashverosh yishtatu ha-yehudim b'shleimus haratzon. But again, Pasha Pshat, the Pasuk is telling us that every person at the party came kiratzon, in accordance with one's will. No one was pressured into anything. V'tzarech biur sod ha-dvar. So we need to understand the secret of this idea, says Rav Zucker. Why was the party arranged in such a way that there was no coercion, everything was a ratzon? And how does that connect, again, to the original acceptance of the Torah versus the re-acceptance of the Torah on Purim? Okay? Chaver Os Gimel. V'yesh lomar, and now here's where he really develops an unbelievable chiddush. Shebidvarav hakadoshim ganuz sod rishaso shal achashverosh v'akesher bein ha-mishta sha'asa l'beis ha-mikdash. Understanding this idea of the Megillah Sestarim, understanding what the Nesivos is telling us here, paying attention to the word Ones and Ratzon in the Megillah. By the way, in a halachic sense, Ones and Ratzon play a critical role in the Megillah. Where do we see Ones and Ratzon playing a critical role in the Megillah, in a halachic sense? Yeah? Well, I'm not talking about in terms of our fulfillment of the halach. I'm talking about in the story, yeah? Yeah, Esther being intimate with Achashverosh. When Mordechai tells Esther to go to Achashverosh, apparently the way it worked is any time you went anywhere near Achashverosh, she slept with you. So until now, Esther, any time she was with Achashverosh, right, the Gemara and Sanhedrin's working it out, Esther karka olam, if a woman is taken against her will and she doesn't actively participate, and she's being raped, so then it's maybe not an act of Arayos, right? But what's going to happen when Esther willfully goes to Achashverosh without being summoned? If she goes and she submits herself before him, it's a willful act of Arayos. A woman who cheats on her husband, even if her husband tells her to do it in this strange case, Mordechai is telling her to go to Achashverosh, but Esther acknowledges the fact that once I submit myself before Achashverosh, kasher avadati avadati, game over. According to Chazal, Mordechai and Esther were married. If it's Hilo Labas, Altikri Labas, El Labayas. Mordechai was married to Esther. So if Mordechai was married to Esther, and now she goes willingly and submits herself to Achashverosh, Beratzon, she's no longer permitted to her husband. It's an unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. Until now, it was Ones. But now, in the final scene, so to speak, it's going to be Ratzon. In fact, the Sfarim point out that Esther, her name, is Rashi Tevos. Esther could be understood as Tchilaso Ones Sofo Ratzon. The four letters of Esther's name. Tchilaso Ones Sofo Ratzon. She started off coerced, but in the end, she had to act willingly. But that's a microcosm of what Klal Yisrael are going through. Again, the original acceptance of the Torah was coercion, and the acceptance of Torah on Purim is an acceptance of Ratzon. A little bit, you understand what I'm hinting to. A little bit, that means, I'm going to say it in a totally inappropriate way, just to make the point. A little bit, we were raped at Har Sinai. We were taken against our will at Har Sinai. Hashem put a gun to our head, right, and forced us to marry him. Well, what does that mean? That's a crazy image. Sorry, I said it that way, but that's a crazy image. What does that mean? What's the halacha in the Chumash if a man rapes a woman? He has to marry her and stay married to her, right? If she wants. Again, immediately your gut reaction is, why would she want? What does she want anything to do with him? It could be the shame of being taken advantage of in this way will make it difficult for her to marry. And for whatever reason, maybe, again, she wants to stay with this man. So the Maharal explains, why did Hashem coerce us at Har Sinai? In a strange kind of way, again, it requires a lot of sensitive viewer. In a strange kind of way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was what was solidifying our relationship. Like the woman in the Torah who's raped, whose husband, right, whose husband-to-be, the man who raped her, if he marries her, he has to marry her, says the Torah, and he can't divorce her. So by Hashem forcing us at Har Sinai, it was Hashem's way of what? Of solidifying a relationship with us that he can't really divorce us. Right? We often talk about the different relationships between us and Hashem. So we think, banim atem l'Hashem lokeichem, we're Hashem's children, and you can't divorce a child. But you also can't divorce a woman who you took advantage of in this way. So the fact that Klal Yisrael were, so to speak, forced at Har Sinai means that Hashem can never sever that bond. It was a way of solidifying, Maral explains, and others, that solidified the bond. Okay, so now, let's see. What's the secret of this onus and ratzon that we see throughout the Megillah? The Yesh Lama, we're in paragraph Gimel and Kufay and Dalid, we're in the right-hand column, paragraph Gimel. The Yesh Lama, Shabidvar Vakadoshim Ganuz Hasod Rishaso Shalachash Verosh. Again, paying attention to this secret of desire and coercion throughout the story will reveal to us what Achashverosh is doing in pretending he's making a Beis HaMikdash in his house. Daharei amru Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Sota, Ein Adam over Aveira Alim ki nichnas bo ruach shtus. Every Aveira is a ruach shtus, is a temporary moment of insanity. I'm overcome by a spirit of folly. I lose my mind. What was I thinking? How could I go against Hashem? How did I put food in my mouth without a bracha? What was I thinking? How did I look at something I shouldn't look at? What was I thinking? How did I not daven shachris? What was I thinking? Right? How did I play games with Chil Shabbos? What was I thinking? Right? Every Aveira is a ruach shtus. It makes no sense. When Hashem is screaming, don't do it. Or when Hashem is screaming, you should do it. It's a mitzvah. And when I miss out on that mitzvah, when I do that avera, right? My Hashem is saying, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? It's ruach shtus. Darei misha shafui bedaito lo yiratzeh lechto. A person whose head is on straight never wants to sin. The ratzon, the true desire of a Jew is to do the will of Hashem. V'yodo sha'asid hu litein din v'cheshbon. And forget about the fact that, I love Hashem so much. There's something called schar and onesh. Do you want to be punished? Anyone here like being punished? I don't. So why do we do averos, knowing that we're going to be punished? The answer is ruach shtus, a spirit of foolishness that overcomes us. We know we're going to have to answer for it one day. I'll call ma'isav upulos, so we're going to have to answer for all of our averos. Ve'elamai, so nu, so what happens? Where it's underlined. Be'ez sh'over avera, harayu kashota sh'nichlas abo ruach shtus. So at the moment I do an avera, I'm not thinking straight. Uva'etzem eino over al avera beratzon, which means that no Jew really ever did an avera willingly. Beautiful idea. The Maharal says every avera that we do has an element of mikra to it. Asher karcha baderech. Mikra means happenstance. It's an accident. And that's not just the Maharal making some type of apologetic excuse for anything a Jew ever did wrong. It's an understanding of the essence of who a Jew is. The essence of a Jew is such that an avera is not me. It's never been me. It never will be me. As I think the Rebbe Reb Zusha said, or one of the other tzaddikim said, I never saw anyone make a l'shem yichud on their avera. Right? No one ever says l'shem yichud, meaning no one ever put themselves fully into an avera. Even as I'm doing an avera, I feel a little guilty that I'm doing the avera. No Jew ever made a siyum to celebrate his averas. Make a scene, finish the language, sechti, make a celebration. Right? For a mitzvah, hachana, kavana, right? Or maybe one of the tzaddikim also said in Nusach something like, I never saw a malach, because every time we do a mitzvah and avera, it creates a malach, right? Pirkei Avos, no? Cue it up. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say? Okay, translation please. Okay, so everything you do creates a malach, a positive malach, who will defend you in court, a malach who will prosecute you in court. So one of the tzaddikim said, I never saw a malach that was created from an avera that was whole. Right? Meaning, depending on how well you do the mitzvah, the malach will be created stronger or weaker. So one of the tzaddikim said, I never saw a malach, a perfect malach, that was a prosecutor, a kategor. I never saw a perfect malach created from an avera. In other words, no one ever did an avera with all their heart. Because every aveira is a ruach shtus. It's not my true ratzon. Ve'eino ela ke'ein ones she'ansu ha'yitzhara. I got bullied into it by the Yitzhara. It's not who I am. Where do we express that in the context of the Beis HaMikdash? And here I think is Rav Zucker's main chiddush, Nos Dalet. U'mekor davar zeh hu bereish Toras Kohanim. The idea, the expression that when I do an aveira, it's not really me, is found at the beginning of Toras Kohanim, in the Medrash on Vayikra. The Medrash Halacha on Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. Shapirish Rashi ala pasuk yakriv oso lirtso no. Rabosai, when you bring a karban, one of the rules is it has to be brought willingly. Lirtso no. Yakriv oso, bring the karban. Lirtso no. Bring the karban willingly. What does that mean? Yakriv oso, says Rashi, based on the Medrash. Malamid shakofen oso. Says the Medrash. Yakriv oso, he'll bring it. He's definitely going to bring it. It has to be willingly. If he's not willing, we'll force him to do it. So how is that willingly? How is forcing someone to do something? But literally the pasuk says, Yakriv oso lirtzono. No, yakriv oso, kofen oso. We force him. We force him to do it willingly. What? How do you force someone to do something willingly? Yachol bal karcho tamid lomer lirtzono. Right? Maybe bal karcho against his will. No, it has to be lirtzono. Uh-huh. So kofen oso, we force him. But it has to be done willingly. How are you going to work that out? Haketzad. Kofen oso ad sheyomer rotze ani. We force him until he says, I want. That sounds like a joke. Of course, you know what he's going to quote next. All right, the famous Rambam about divorcing a woman. V'yaduam divrei harambam. The Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Geirushin. Shakviya ba legalos es ritzono ha'amiti. When the Rambam discusses, again, also a chazal, that we force a man to give his wife a get, even though a get has to be given willingly. So the Rambam says, what does that mean? How do you do that? Kofen oso ad sheyomer rotzani. Beat him up until he says, I want. That's called I want, says them. Sounds like a joke. But the Rambam writes, a very chassidish pshat, the Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Geirushin, that deep down inside, what does a Jew really want? New Joe, what does a Jew want deep down inside? He wants to be a good Jew. Deep down inside, he does want to do the right thing. What happens? Why do we make bad choices? It's a horror. It gets us to do stupid things. It's not who I am. It's not what I want. So therefore, says the Rambam, Hakviya ba legalos es ritzono ha'amiti. When we force him, we're forcing him, when he says rotzani, that is what he really wants. Deep down inside, that's what he wants. Sheganez ba'omek nafsho shekol Yehudi. You're beating the Yitzhar out of him to reveal that which is inside. Shurak la'asos ritzono yisbarach. But the Yitzhahara is making him crazy and forcing him to do Averos. That's the part you're being forced into. The part that you really want is to serve Hashem. Right? So yes, when he says the magic phrase, Rotze Ani, he's able to what? He's able to achieve that deep inner sense of what does he truly desire. Rav Moshe Wolfson points out that the gematria of the words Rotze Ani is gematria Yom Kippur. 362. Rotzani is Gematria Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is a day where every Jew wants. You come to shul. Even Jews who literally don't come to shul any other time in the calendar year show up to shul on Yom Kippur. Where is that coming from? Right? It's coming from... Now they might tell you, well, you know, I feel bad that I'm not so religious, so I come to synagogue on the high holidays. Right? But it's deeper than that. Alpipnimi is much deeper than that. Yom Kippur is a day where a Jew is able to be his best self. So even the Jew who seems very far from Torah and Mitzvot on Yom Kippur, Rotze Ani, I want. So Chavra, if that's true about Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, then all the more so, Purim is the greatest day of Ratzon. If Yom Kippur, we would think, is like the ultimate expression of Rotze Ani, I want to be a Yid. Yom Kippur is a day where a Jew, more than any other day of the year, is be able to be Megala his true Ratzon. Inner ratzon of a Jew, the deepest desire of a Jew, which is what? I want to be a Yid. That's what I want. That's my true ratzon. So now, what does this have to do with the Beis HaMikdash and Achashverosh dressing like a Kohen Gadol? And how does it connect us back to this idea that a karban, which we bring in the Beis HaMikdash, is brought willingly? Says Rav Zucker at the top of the left column, Im Kain, Seder Karbanos of Beis HaMikdash. So every time a Jew brings a carbon to Beis HaMikdash, what's he saying by bringing that carbon? In fulfillment of Yakriv Oso, Lirtso No. What's he saying when he brings that carbon? You know what he's saying? He's saying, when I come to the Beis HaMikdash with this animal that I'm bringing willingly, I'm saying, Karbanos, Kirvas Elokus, closest to Hashem, that's my will. The Avera that I did, that was Mechayev me in this carbon Chatas, that's not me. So every trip to the Beis HaMikdash is a reminder of the real me and the fake me. The Avera that I did, that wasn't me. This carbon that I'm bringing, Lirtso No, that's my Ratzon, this is the real me. But legalos she'afal pi she'adam chata, that even though I did an avera, we call makum lo hayezeh beratzon, that was not my ratzon. For itzono ha'amiti nisha rak l'toru mitzvos, v'zos ha'isamataras havodu beis hamikdash, and that's what the beis hamikdash was. The beis hamikdash was a place where a Jew would come to check back in, to reassess his self, to remind himself who he really is, to remind himself who he really is. Yeah, I'll say something interesting. I just realized. Where is the starting point of the entire creation? The Beis HaMikdash. And where in the Beis HaMikdash? The Evan Shasiyah. Yeah? The Evan Shasiyah. What did the Pasuk say? Achashverosh's party. Vahashasiyah kedas ain onas. Yeah? Look at the word Vahashasiyah. He quoted it back in paragraph Bez on the Hishkofai and Gimel. Vahashasiyah kedas. Evan Shasiyah means what? The foundation stone. Right? Shin and Tuf means foundation. Right? So look at the word Vashasiya. You see how the Yud-Hei and the Vav-Hei are separated from each other? You see Vashasiya is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei with a Shin and a Tuf in the middle? Yeah, the whole fight against the Malik is to reconnect the Yud-Hei and the Vav-Hei. But also the word itself is Shasiya, the Evan Shasiya. Right? In other words, Vashasiya Kadas Ein Ones, when a Jew comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Kodesh Kadashim, the center point of Beis HaMikdash, the center point of all of creation, is what's called the Evan Shasiya. When I come to that place, I realize that Beis HaMikdash is Kadas. That is my Das. That is my will. That is my religion. That is my practice. Ein Ones. Not the things that I did through coercion. That's not who I am. The Averas I did, that's not me. So when I bring that carbon to Beis HaMikdash and I give it to the Kohen Beratzon, I'm reminding myself who I am. That's what Beis HaMikdash is. It's that getting back to that foundational point of a person's own existence. Legalos is a Ratzon Amiti, yeah, to reveal the true inner desire. And therefore, Chavra says Rav Zucker, a beautiful insight. V'lachein, next paragraph. Anu mispalim b'shmona esrei. How do we begin the paragraph that speaks about the restoration of Beis HaMikdash, of Avodas Beis HaMikdash? How does that paragraph begin in Shmona Esrei? Ritzei. Because the whole point of the Beis HaMikdash is what? Is Ratzon. It's a place of Ritzei. Right? It's a place of being Megale Ratzon. Me'achar shezu aysa tachlis ha'avod Beis HaMikdash ligalos ritzoneinu la'asos ritzono yizbach. The Beis HaMikdash is all about reminding us of our true inner Ratzon. So now we're starting to really understand why Achashverosh decided to make his house into the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted the Jewish people to choose differently. Instead of the true Ratzon of a Jew, which is what? To come to the real Beis HaMikdash and serve Hashem. Achashverosh said, I don't want to force you. I want you to do your Averos willingly. And that would be obviously a total v'nahafachu of the essence of what a Jew is. Lachain, he continues in Osei, Sefer Vayikra, Maschil Bapasuk, Adam Ki Yakriv, Mikem Karban. When a person brings a karban, Adam, when Adam brings a karban, Adam. Sounds like Adam Arishon. Says Rashi, yeah, it is Adam Arishon. Perish Rashi, Dekai al Adam Arishon. Adam Ki Yakriv, Mikem. When an Adam brings a karban, it's such a funny Rashi. Anyone remember this Rashi? What does Rashi say? What's the reference to Adam Arishon? Listen to this Rashi. Adam ki akriv mikem. Adam, lama nemar. Why does it say Adam? Ma Adam Arishon lo hikriv min agezel. Shakol hayishalo. Afatem lo takriv min agezel. Just like when Adam brought a carbon, it wasn't stolen. That's where there's no one to steal from. Everything was his. So too, the Torah used the word Adam to teach us. What's Adam? Rashi says it's a reference to Adam Arishon. What does Adam Arishon have to do with anything? Why, when I enter into the book of Vayikra, the book of Karbanos, why do I need to start with some type of strange reference to Adam Arishon? Adam didn't steal. You shouldn't steal your karban. What does it do with anything? Tzarech bira kesher. Achein al piya amor naicha. But based on what we've explained, it actually fits very beautifully. The aduim divrei haramban. The Ramban explains al tukufa delasid lavo. The Ramban, when he describes what's going to be in the future when Hashem transforms our stone heart back into a heart of flesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel the Yetzer Hara. And we're able to get back to being the type of Jews we really want to be deep down inside. Where sometimes we're able to express it, and sometimes we mess up. The Ramban writes in Dvarim Perek Lamed, V'yashuv ha'odam bizman ahu la'asher haya kodem chato shal adam harishon. Right? It used to be the way the Nefesh HaChaim explained it, that the Yetzirah was outside of a person. That's why the Nachash is talking to Adam and Chava outside of them. After we sinned by the Yetzirah Das, so to speak, the Nachash entered us. That's what that whole sugya is about, that whole strange sugya of the Nachash wanting to be intimate with Chava. Right? The Zuhamas HaNachash, the filth of the Nachash entered her. It's the Yetzirah entering into our hearts. It used to be the Yetzirah was external and the Yetzirah Tov was internal. After the Chayit Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava, the Nefesh HaChaim writes in the 6th chapter, of Perak Aleph, Shar Aleph, that it got flipped. So now my Yetzer Hara is a very powerful voice inside of me. My Yetzer Tov is like this little background noise. But the Ramban says the time will come when what? We're going to get back to the way things were supposed to be, like Adam Kodem HaChayit. When it should have been very clear that my one desire is to serve Hashem. Shaya Osa B'tivo Masheroi Lasos. Where it was natural to do the right thing. Of course, you're all thinking, so how did Adam sin? Good question. But it was much more natural for Adam Arishon to choose the right thing. V'lo hayalo ritzono davar v'yifuchem. It wasn't always a struggle by him. Right? Our world is a backwards world. Olam hafach ra'isi, psachem daf nun. We live in a backwards world. But in the future, we're going to get back to the way things were. Chavra, Purim is the future. Purim is the future. Why does the Medrash say that all the holidays in the future are going to be batel except for Purim? So Adam Kaufler told me the other day from Matel Zilber, the Stuchina Rebbe, that we have a concept in halacha, right? The concept in halacha, when it comes to bittel, that min b'mino eino batel. What does it mean, min b'mino eino batel? Right? When you have something amongst its common type, right? It's not batel. Min b'mino eino bata. So what does that mean? So when Mashiach comes, the light of Mashiach is going to be so great that it's going to completely overshadow and be mevatel things that are not as Mashiach dik, like all the other holidays. But since Purim is already like Mashiach, it's true, the light of Mashiach is going to be much greater than Purim. But since Purim is in the spirit of Mashiach, min b'mino eino bata, it's not going to be bata lasid lavo. So that's why on Purim we're able to get, right? The Ramban saying in the future it's going to be a return to Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChayit. You're going to be like a person who's able to express his Ratzon. That's what Purim is. Purim, I can actually be myself. I can actually express my true Ratzon. I'm able to bring out my true inner Ratzon to taste of the future. Mevuar, he says, bottom paragraph. Mevuar, Sheritzono Shal Adam HaRishon Lefnei HaChayit Haya Achrak Lasos Ritzono Yizbach. So Adam, before the sin, had one desire, which was to do the will of Hashem. Again, if you're wondering how Adam sinned, he did it on purpose. It was an avera lishma. What does that mean? Good question. Not for now. But Adam, really, in Gan Eden, all you wanted to do was serve Hashem. We're going to get back to that. And on Purim, we get back to that. Turn the page. But after the sin, he got filled with all sorts of strange desires that get in the way. We get all mubulbal. We don't know what we really want anymore. Right? Our body tells us one thing. Our neshama tells us something else. We're all confused. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara is able to take advantage of us and to deceive us and to trick us into thinking that my ratzon is a ratzon of gashmias. A ratzon of making more money, or a ratzon of getting a better job, a ratzon of having more fun, right? In olam hazedik away. That's not my ratzon. It feels, what do you mean? Who are you to tell me what my ratzon is? I know how I feel. It's not your ratzon. It's not your ratzon. Hashem says, that's not your ratzon. That's your Yetzirah's ratzon. That's not your ratzon. It's not you. It's not the essential you. Next paragraph. Me'achar sh'avodas ha'karbanos v'beis ha'mikdash ba'al levarar u'lahavi ratzono shal ish Yisrael einu la'averachas v'shalom el l'toru mitzvos. So now we understand if the Beis HaMikdash is that place that helps me to reorient myself to what I really want, I come to the Evan Shasiya, the starting point of creation, I remind myself that my greatest desire is to nothing other than to have a relationship with Hashem. Nimsa shahavoda b'Beis HaMikdash machziras adam l'me'ein dargas adam rishon l'fnei achit. She'alo rak ratzon echad ratzon yizbach. So every time I come to Beis HaMikdash, I become a little bit like Adam. By the way, it says that when the Jews accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, we became a little bit like Adam Kodem Achet. And then we made the Chet Egel and we lost everything. But if Purim is a reacceptance of Torah, Kabbalah Torah itself was a return to Adam Kodem Achet. So it makes sense that on Purim we're tasting a little bit of this inyan of Adam Kodem Achet. And again, that's exactly what Achashverosh was trying to do. Come to my party. I'm the new Beis HaMikdash. I'm the new Kohen Gadol. You're going to choose to do Averos here, not do them the Ones. And that's going to be the total destruction of the essence of Klal Yisrael. That's what Haman and Achashverosh were trying to do. Okay? Let's jump ahead to the bottom paragraph on the page, Os Ches. Because he just explains, again, everything that we've discussed already in Vav and Zayin. Os Ches. Al pi anizkor la'el yuvan lama tziref Achashverosh es Haman ha'rasha b'mizimaso hara. Until now we've been focusing on Achashverosh. Achashverosh made the party. Achashverosh brought out the kelim mikelim shonim. He brought out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh dressed up like Kohen Gadol. What's the role of Haman in all of this? Again, we said Ish ve'Ish is Mordechai and Haman, each one, so to speak, fighting for their own understanding of the ratzon. Mordechai saying, the true ratzon of a Jew is Torah and mitzvos. Haman trying to say, nah, your ratzon is no different than my ratzon. So what's the role of Haman? Ki arei darshu chazal Haman min haTorah minayin. Hulin kof ma'amites. The Gemara says, where is Esther in the Torah? Where is Mordechai in the Torah? Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? Maybe the strangest one on that list, since today is his birthday and his yard site. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to in the Torah? Hinted to in the Torah, Moshe's on every page of Torah. Okay? Shows you that Moshe has a very strong connection to the Purim story. Otherwise, you don't put those four together. Mordechai, Esther, Haman, and Moshe. Okay? But Haman min haTorah minayin. Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? Nu, what's the Gemara's answer? Turn the page. Hamin ha'etz. Right? Hashem says to Adam and Chava, it's Bereishis Paragim Pasuk Yud Aleph. Did the tree that I told you not to eat from, by the way, is it possible that you ate from the tree? Is it possible the tree I told you, don't touch that tree? Is it possible you ate from it? Why are Chazal pointing to the Eitz Hadas? Why are they pointing to the Eitz Hadas and saying, this is where Haman's essence comes from? Why are you pointing to that? What does that have to do with anything? Shekol inyana ha'il abalbel asa adam lachshov shiretzono amiti hu letayva hu lachet ka'amur la'el. The whole inyan of Chet Etzadas was Adam and Chava losing sight of their true ratzon, which was to serve Hashem, being tricked by the Nachash. This is the world of Haman. It's exactly what Haman's world is. To deceive and to delude and to use his kalach hapeh in a crooked way. As the Gemara says, Leika the Yodda Lishna Bisha. No one knew how to speak Lashnar in history like Haman. The Gemara in Erechin says that a Nachash is also associated with Lashon Hara. What's the Gematria of Lashon Hara? Same as Esther. Lashon Hara is Gematria Esther. Right? Esther is the antithesis of Haman because Haman is the greatest Baal Lashon Hara. What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is using words to manipulate a situation. Right? Words are a very powerful thing to change the way someone thinks or the way someone understands. So Haman used his words, just like the Nachash, to deceive and to manipulate and to confuse and to cause them to stumble in that world of Eitz Hadas, to fall into that that confusion and that taiva of thinking they wanted something that was so different than what they really wanted. Something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, thank you, Hashem. The Gemara says, yeah, this is Geshmak, actually, super Geshmak. I don't remember where it is. The Gemara says in Megillah that we say when they're giving their introductions to, the Gemara has a whole list of how different tzaddikim would introduce their drushas on the Megillah. Paschula, Pischa, Mehai, Parshasa. They would start their drusha with the following verse, the following pasuk. So one of them said a drasha based on the words of David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Halleluka, thank you Hashem for protecting us. Bekum aleinu Adam. When an Adam rose up against us. Somewhere in the Agaritas, in the first paragraph. Bekum aleinu Adam. So the Gemara says, Adam velo Melech. Hashem, thank you so much for saving us when an Adam tried to attack us. He was an Adam. Got it. No. Thought I had it. Adam velo melech. He was an Adam, but he was not a king. Who was the Adam who was not a king who rose up against us? Who's that referring to? Haman. Right? Why are we thanking Hashem for protecting us from an Adam and not a melech? Why is an Adam scarier than a melech? No? Why is an Adam scarier than a melech? What's today? Super Tuesday? That's what it's called?
Yes.
Super Tuesday? Yeah? So you got to know this Vart for Super Tuesday. It's a Super Tuesday Vart. Adam below Melech. No? Thank you, Hashem, you protected us when an Adam rose up against us. Adam below Melech. Why is an Adam scarier than a Melech? First of all, again, you see Haman is being called Adam. Right? Haman is being called Adam. You understand what that means? Because what we just learned? If Adam Arishon, of getting back to Adam Arishon, means getting back to the truest inner Ratzon of Ratzon Hashem. So Haman says, no, I want to be Adam. Achashverosh says, I'm the Kohen Gadol. Haman says, I'm Adam Arishon. As if to say the true desire of Adam Arishon was to rebel against Hashem. But what's so scary about Adam v'lo Melech? So if you look in the Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, in the back of the Gemara. So he says, because you have another Pasuk. The Pasuk says that the hearts and the minds of kings are controlled by Hashem. I think the pasuk is something like Lev Sarim u'Melachim bi'ad Hashem. The pasuk says that the hearts and the minds of kings are in the hands of Hashem. In other words, there's a certain control, a unique type of hashkacha pratis, a unique type of control that Hashem has in manipulating and moving around, you know, powerful people. Right? Yeah. But it's pasuk, right? So that means that, you know, that means that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, v'chulo, there's a certain way that Hashem is very much, you know, and put Hashem on trial for meddling in the election, yeah? There's a certain involvement that Hashem has. But an Adam who's not a melech, right, has a different degree of bechira. So says the Gemara, thank you Hashem, David HaMelech says, Haluka, thank you Hashem, for protecting Klal Yisrael, Bekum Aleinu Adam. You saved us from an Adam. Gemara says, Adam Velo Melech. Says Rav Yaakov Emden, right, a Melech, we feel much safer to know that Hashem's got his hand in the pot, so to speak. But an Adam can choose to do things, kiviyachol, out of Hashem's, you know, out of Hashem's watch, out of Hashem's control. So an Adam, the very word Adam, represents someone who has more of a ratzon, right? The ability to operate more freely, not forced. A melech is controlled, the melech is coerced, but an Adam operates on his own. So now, says Rav Zucker, yeah, where is Haman in the Torah? It's back in Eitz Hadas. Because that was the point, again, where the Nachash is causing a bilbul in the Adam to convince him that he wants to choose all sorts of unholy things. So this is exactly what Achashverosh was trying to do as well. To try to manipulate Klal Yisrael to redefine their will. Okay? Last point for today. Let's go to paragraph test. We'll end with this. Me'ata yuvan hisgalus hanifla shel rachmei shamayim. We're in the bottom right-hand corner of page Kufayin Vav. So now we understand the wondrous redemption and salvation that took place. We understand that Hashem moved around the pieces to save us. V'sive berov rachamov v'chasadav v'skol inyan shel vashti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeah, Hashem helped us. Again, Vashti also. Let's go to Shasiya. Very interesting. Evan Shasiya. Kadesh Yavakesh HaMelech Isha Acheres V'yimtzas Esther. Look how Hashem moved the pieces around to get Esther into position. As the Pasuk says about Esther, V'tilakach Esther al Beis HaMelech. Esther was taken. Trust me, Esther did not want to be in Ahasuerus's beauty pageant. But the Pasuk says, V'tilakach, she was taken to the king's palace. What does it mean? Says the Targum, V'idbarat Esther be'ointza. Esther was led by force. There you go, once again, onus. Esther was taken by Ahasuerus. Ukidivreha Yosef lekach ala Pasuk Azer, as the Yosef lekach explains, Omru v'tilakach hamora al ones hamuchlat. V'tilakach means taken completely against her will. In other words, Esther said, I have nothing to do with Ahasuerus. I want nothing to do with it. The whole thing is onus. Again, in the end, she goes to him willingly. Just remind yourself that the melech in the story, of course, is Ahasuerus, but it's also, it's the evolution of our relationship, it's a mashal of the evolution of our relationship with Hashem. Originally, we were taken at our Sinai by force. Eventually, we chose Hashem willingly. That's what's being mirrored here in a microcosm. So Esther was taken completely by force. Come over to Kach Beis Paro. Like it says about Sarah, she was taken to the house of Paro. Shechbiya v'estira atzma kol ha'efshala. That she refused and hid herself as much as possible. But when Hashem wants it to be taken, you're taken. V'gam lashon agra, the Vilna Gaon similarly explains, v'tilakach bal karcha. Laharas godo anusasa v'shalo haya biritzona. This was not her ratzon. It was not Esther's ratzon to be taken to Ahasuerus. And that's what Esther is all about. It's about Klal Yisrael saying, hiding, so to speak, from the Yetzirah. Sometimes the Yetzirah will take us by force, but it's not who I am. V'hine Esther romez al Knesset Yisrael. Esther, of course, is meramez to the entire Jewish people. Ahasuerus mora al Yetzirah. And Ahasuerus represents, again, the entire story of our relationship with the Yetzirah. And therefore, k'mefurash b'peir shagra, sh'Ahasuerus hu ha-Yetzirah ha-meisis ha-adam l'taivos. Ahasuerus was the Yetzirah who, again, tries to lure us into taivos. Come to my party. No one's going to force you to do anything. I'm just going to make it so tempting that you can't refuse. V'kan disbarer. And here, through the Megillah story, we clarify. Sh'Knesset Yisrael mischavrim al taivos ha-Yetzirah. Esther is being forced. It's not who she is. Like Esther was being taken to Ahasuerus by force. And of course, the whole Megillah ends after Haman is called out for being the bad guy. And Ahasuerus walks out in his wrath and comes back in. And he sees that Haman is fallen, right, on top of Esther. And he says to him, Hagam lechvoisha samalka yimi babayis. You're going to attack Esther with me right here? Right? In other words, it's getting to the point where it's time to stop harassing Esther. Leave her alone. Right? Let Esther make choices. And that's what happens in the end of the Megillah. Esther is able to make difficult choices, but to reveal her true inner desire. Okay, so this is the answer to the question. Why did Ahasuerus try to turn his palace into the Beis HaMikdash? And what was it about the Purim story that led the Jews to the reacceptance of Torah Beratzon? That's what the whole story is about. The whole story is about getting back to Adam Arishon Kodem Achay, of getting back to the Beis HaMikdash, a place of true Ratzon. Like the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, Rav Alexandri, every time he finished one of Esrei, what would he say? Ritzoneinu lasas ritzonecha Hashem. You know we want to do your will. What gets in the way? The Yetzirah and the fact that we're being bullied by the Gullius, by the exiles. But deep down inside, we only want to do the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so we should be Zocha to Megala that Ratzon. Again, if Yom Kippur is Gematria Rotza Ani, you can only imagine how much more so Purim. It's the revelation of the deepest, deepest Ratzon of a Jew, like Adam Kodem Achim. Mamish, Abinyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Shkoyach.